Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way. 3-4-3.
And Pendera is Pendera is Pendera.
Now, Bears Etc. with the voices of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thibodeau.
Season 104 in Bears history ends as it began with a loss to the arch-rival Packers. The hyphen that links the two games represents the growth of a young team, overcoming adversity, injuries, some hard lessons, some nice wins, and heartbreaking losses. But that's the NFL in a nutshell. A new bar, though, has been set. Expectations rising. 7-10 is a four-game improvement from 2022. With a top 12 defense, two Pro Bowl caliber seasons from newcomer defensive end Montez Sweat and corner Jalen Johnson, impactful play from T.J. Edwards and a young, budding, impactful secondary, some individual accomplishments that warrant discussion. And with Super Bowl-winning Bears guard Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak, and this is Bears Etc., episode number 49. We've got a collection of reactions from the last day in the Bears locker room until, Tommy, late August or early September, the media won't be allowed in the actual locker room. And I'll tell you, it's a stark contrast always from a bustling locker room preparing for a game to cleaning out the lockers, boxing up the items for shipment, exit meetings, and signouts. And we know many players will not return. Some have uncertain futures, a few looking to negotiate long-term contracts. Others got to rehab injuries, get surgeries, or start hitting the weight room. All of it is sad because the season is over.
Well, you know what? It's equally sad and concerning for me as an ex-player. I've been in that locker room before while I was uncertain about my own future. But as 27 years as a broadcaster, I kind of feel a sense of emptiness when the season ends. I look forward to the preparation every day. I look forward to the games on Sundays as much as I always have. So when we get on that plane to ride home after the last game and we're not getting ready for a playoff, it's a sad ride home for me. It's a sad day. It's hard falling asleep on that night. So, you know, I hope we make this offseason better, because one thing that I'm excited about this offseason is in a lot of positions, we're looking for depth and not major holes to fill. And that excites me about going forward.
I'm going to start with some of the audio, Tom, with the oldest of the bunch, Mercedes Lewis. He still wants to keep playing and he'd like to play here, but just a veteran's overall look at what he experienced in the locker room, what he thinks about the team and what he thinks about Justin Fields, the Bears' third year, soon to be fourth year quarterback.
There were plenty of reasons to maybe throw the season. And we just have more reasons not to. And it's about turning this thing around. I understood when I came here, there was going to be, you know, take some time. And I think that was one of the things that fired me up about being here, is being a part of something that could potentially be great. And I feel like the arrow's pointing up. It was an honor to be able to be here and serve and play good ball, put good stuff on film, and yeah.
Mercedes, you saw this offense operate at the highest level. How would your take be on Justin's fit in this offense? And then how close do you think it is to actually taking off?
I mean, you guys see what I see. An amazing athlete. I feel like he's continuing to develop. And to be honest, like, no matter if you're in your third year or your 18th year, development is a process, right? And if you're somebody that understands that the room for growth is always spacious, then you're going to continue to grow. And I feel like he's at that spot. I feel like he's done a really good job of getting better every day. He's a guy that, you know, wants to win and wants to be great. So I tip my hat to him for just going out there and doing his best, you know, with what he's given. And that's all you can do, is be your personal best. You live with the results, have no regrets. You know, the other thing that you're asking is, you know, that's not my job to kind of answer those type of questions, but just as a player and as a person, he wants to be right. And When you have that, you give yourself a chance.
All right, so a lot there, Tom, starting with the broad scope view. He had a really interesting perspective, being a longtime veteran and multiple teams in the NFL. He appreciated the way these guys worked. And as far as Justin is concerned, to paraphrase, he appreciates that he wants to be great, and he's doing everything he can to be great. And so it's not up to him to make the decision, of course, or decide who, if in fact he becomes the starting quarterback again in 2024 or if he moves on. But that's kind of the reaction from the locker room. Nobody's saying anything different about Justin Fields, and no one's saying anything different in that locker room. And you'll hear more from DJ Moore and Tyreek Stevenson, different ends of the spectrum, about how hard this team played, how hard they work to bond together, and they feel good about the new level platform that they have established, even though they're not going to the playoffs and have 7 wins.
Yeah. You know, when I hear a guy like Mercedes Lewis talk, I retired from the NFL when I was 33 years old. I can't imagine what 7 more years of experience would have given me. So when I do get asked a question at the end of the season, I could go back to my Rolodex of my football memory. And I've gone through every experience that could possibly face a football player, whether it's a reaction about a young developing quarterback that has a bright future, where I lie in my own career, or what you feel going forward this team needs most to improve.
It almost feels like the season's not over. You know?
I just, you know, that interview you did a couple weeks ago with Mercedes Lewis, I love the fact that we all got to know him a little bit better. But to have a chance to talk to him in a postseason locker room, I think the advice that he can give younger players and what he can tell guys like us that have been around for 30 and 40 years, it's immeasurable, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
All right, here's another interesting take from the other 10-plus year veteran on the roster. It's Cairo Santos. And he had an individually a terrific season, one of the best in Bears history at the kicking position. But I've never heard a player talk about this. He puts it in the perspective of international soccer. You kind of take a break, and the next season like dovetails into the past season. And football is definitely different that way. But he's looking at this that we're just taking a little pause. We'll be back in April here getting together again and picking up where we left off. Here's Cairo.
It almost feels like the season's not over. You know, it's like the, you know, it's almost like, you know, in the Premier League, you know, they play the first like 18 games and then take a little break. And then, so it feels like we'll just take a break and then continue the work then and finish the second half, you know, of that kind of long league. Because that's what we felt like. We felt like we left a lot on the table. We could have been playing, you know, in the playoffs this year, but, you know, like that, let's just kind of take this break and continue that work and hit it running next year.
Yeah, so he says they left a lot on the table, and it makes it feel like they're going to start the second half of the season when they get back together. I've never heard that perspective. Now, it's interesting from a kicker and not a guy who's, you know, worked every snap and his body's feeling a whole lot worse than he did at the beginning of the season, but it's interesting perspective.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, the idea of team development never stops, even though the season's over. So every one of these guys have to pick out, what do I need to do to get to that next level? And, you know, and thinking about Cairo himself, you know, when he talked about his improvement, it's not about him living his life in the weight room throughout the offseason, trying to come back with his right leg double the size of his left leg. He just talked about picking up speed in the element of kicking. Whereas as soon as the season ended for me, I thought, okay, now I have to invest more time in the weight room, and I have to try to become a stronger football player than I am right now. So it's different ways of looking at it from a kicker to an offensive guard. However, it's always about team accomplishment.
When it's time to tackle some game day deals, then go with the grocer who's been a part of Chicago since 1899, Jewel Osco, the official grocery store of the Chicago Bears. Jeff and Tom of the Bears Etc. podcast. As we look back through the season, we're going to give you some of our insights on who we thought played the best in each of the three phases, rookies of the year, all that. But let's delve into the game a little bit. I don't know. Have you watched the tape yet? I have, and I may do it in a couple weeks. I'm still a little ornery about it. A 17-9 loss. So the record against playoff teams this year, 1-6, 2-4 in the division, 2-7 on the road, 3-14 on the road the last 2 years, and 2-6 in one-score games this year. So if you flip that, if you even do half of that, if you win four of those eight games, you know, you're looking at a possible playoff berth this year. That's the thin line, Tom.
Yeah. You know, I went back to I watched the majority of the game, and there was plays that stuck out in my mind that I needed to look at again. And, you know, as we leave the booth and we get onto the plane, it's a short flight. The memory, the game is just running through your head, and you're thinking about all the things and all the topics you talked about. So to be able to go back and see him as quickly as possible, it keeps it fresh in your memory. So, you know, it's something that you have to do. And I asked Matt Eberflus about it after the game last night, about watching this tape with the players to point out their improvements in the way that they can get themselves better. And he says it's a game you have to look at. And I'm glad that was the reaction that he gave me, because I think looking at this as a team is going to help the team get better. This is not about individual accomplishments in any sense.
So what'd you see?
So I saw this. So the Bears gave up 5 sacks. They gave up 9 total sacks in 2 games against the Green Bay Packers. So I went back and I looked at 3 sacks that ended drives in the game the other day. Play 14, play 31, play 47. So on play 14, 31, and 47. On play 13, it was second down and they ran a play for a 2-yard loss. So now they had to run a pass play that played into giving them the pass rush advantage. Play 31, they got a sack. Play 30 was second and 9. They had a 1-yard gain. So now it's 3rd and 8. Advantage of the opponent. Crowd noise and everything. Play 47, another game-ending sack. Play 46, they ran a sweep. They had a holding call. And they had a wide receiver as a lead blocker in a super difficult block for Feeney, the center. So you kind of take plays out of those sacks, 9 of them over 2 games, 5 in this game, and you think of the play before the sack given up. What was the result of that play? Would you go back and would you call a different play? Would you run a more efficient play to try to eat up a little bit of that ground so you didn't have such a big third down to try to win the play in such a hostile environment? So it was just things like that that you go and you look at, and just a couple of other design plays that maybe I don't agree with, but it's just looking at it in the aftermath.
Game day snacking calls for Good Foods Chunky Guacamole, made with Hass avocados, tomatoes, onions, cilantro, and a squeeze of lime juice. It's the perfect snack to watch while the Bears win. Score some today at your local grocery store. Game day is guac day. How about on the defensive side of the ball against what was a very impressive Jordan Love, Tom? 27 of 32, 316, 2 touchdowns, 84% completion, nearly 10 yards per pass attempt. There were some explosives in there, including a 59-yarder to Reed, and then a 128.6 quarterback rating. And his performance escalated over the course of the season after a 2-6 start by the Packers, and they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, you play a little bit of zone coverage and you don't get immediate pressure on the quarterback, and then you get some explosive crossing routes by Jaden Reed, and he was a guy that made me nervous going into the game. But yeah, I think you have to look at the big picture, and you have to admire what Jordan Love was able to do throughout the season. He came into Chicago week 1 and he played well, and he finished up the season when they needed the victory the most in order to get themselves into the playoffs and keep hope alive for them. And I think he answered the bell at, you know, for the development of the quarterback position inside our division and on that team.
Who do you think had more pressure starting this season, Jordan Love or Justin Fields?
I think they had the equal amount of pressure from two different ends of the spectrum. One was a first-round quarterback that came into a disgruntled quarterback that was already on a Hall of Fame career, and I don't think he really embraced them drafting Jordan Love and not giving him more playmakers, talking about Aaron Rodgers. So when Jordan Love was thrust into the starting position, then he had to play up to a level that didn't necessarily have to be a all-pro level, but it had to be a level where they were competing in the division and still trying to make the playoffs after Aaron Rodgers leaves. And then Justin Fields, because of what he put on display last year and his dynamic athleticism, that he wanted, people wanted to see that again, and that's why they filled up Soldier Field week in and week out. However, I think if you really want to see the development of a quarterback, it's how they throw the ball, not how they run the ball. And Justin is he's not going to take the backseat to anybody as a quarterback threat. However, if you're talking about a quarterback that's going to play a decade-long career and he's going to stay healthy and he's going to be in the game, it's going to be because of, according to the architect of the offense, he gets the ball out of his hands in his 1-2-3 option read.
I love Love's quote, and it applies to every one of us, actually. Pressure's a privilege. And yeah. I love that quote. I'm going to steal it and use it for the rest of my life, honestly.
He didn't make that up.
No.
I've heard that before. And, you know, I think that's one thing about you and I, and even on this end, is pressure fuels us.
Yeah.
And, you know, no matter what way of life you're in, if you want to be there for a long time, you got to accept the pressure.
No question. DJ Moore, at the time the media was available in the locker room on Monday, they were already through some of the meetings. And so he did have his exit meeting, and he's not going to tell you exactly what was discussed or what was told to him. But he did say he brought up Justin Fields, and the Fields conversation was brought up in his exit meeting, and he told his opinion, and he got theirs as well.
I mean, it was bored up. I bored him up, you know, of course. And, I mean, he's the quarterback for the Chicago Bears until otherwise. I mean, I don't think that's changing anytime soon, so we'll see.
How would you like
that
to work out?
Like what, for Justin to be here?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll work, it'll be amazing, you know. Nobody wants to really start all the way over and either have a losing season again or maybe have a, what's the quarterback from the Bengals when he came out, Joe Burrow? We could have that kind of season. You never know, it's a hit or miss, so we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of guys, because it is the great unknown when you bring a new quarterback in, so you know what you have in Justin. That's kind of the idea that DJ says, you know, he's growing, he got better, the team got better over the course of the season. And then you bring a new guy in, and you don't know what you're going to get. And he used Joe Burrow as an example. When he got in there, things changed dramatically for the Cincinnati Bengals. We can cite cases either way, but it's got to be whatever's best for the organization moving forward. End of story.
You know, throughout the course of my career, I never had an exit meeting. I never had an exit interview with any coach I ever played for. We came in the last day. We had got an outgoing physical, and then we left the building, and we never saw our team again until minicamp. I think when you have a chance to voice your opinion to a general manager, a head coach, or your position coach, it's because you earn the right. And I don't think there's anybody that I've seen in Chicago in the last 15 years that has earned the right to speak offensively as much as DJ Moore. So anything he had to say, I would respect, and I'm sure the coaches gave DJ Moore the same respect that he has earned.
Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears, tastes like Miller Time, Chicago. Jack Sanborn had a solid season again, a very good player all the way around, just does his job. He really thinks that Matt Eberflus and his touch on this team, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, has really resonated. Here's Jack.
I mean, I think personally just, you know, from where we were and then just what I can commend him is just, you know, staying the course. And he never wavered, never changed, and just, I don't know. I think he maybe saw it before any of us saw it and really just always didn't change throughout the rough times or the good times. And you know, because it was ugly at times. It was bad. We were playing bad ball. We weren't executing. We weren't playing good. And then it kind of changed. And, you know, I think guys in this locker room could feel that. I think everyone else could feel that. And, yeah, and that's what makes kind of yesterday so tough. It's just that we weren't able to, in such a important game, such a, against that team, just weren't able to finish the season exactly how we wanted. And, but, yeah, I mean, just the effort this year to kind of where we were last year and then change it into, you know, where we actually believe that, you know, we were going to win every game.
You know, it's interesting to hear Jack say that you know, Eberflus saw the potential in the team before the team did. And, you know, the idea that they were playing bad. He admitted right there, Tommy, they were playing bad, and then they were playing well enough to win and compete and then expected to win. And that was the disappointment about losing at Green Bay from Sam Burns' perspective and many others that I talked to in the locker room, is that they expected to win. And that's, you know, that to me is a very significant development. When you start believing that you're going to win, that's a big chunk of the yellow brick road to learning how to win. True.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, you know, so it's kind of funny. Let's go back to training camp. You and I used to sit there every day, and you used to sit there and tell me, boy, Tyreek Stevenson, this and that. Terrell Smith, this and that. And then we talked about Jaquan Brisker, what he could be, Kyler Gordon, how great he could be. We all knew what Sanborn was capable of. We are excited about free agents T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds. And they you thought what this defense could become because they put some new pieces in place that were super exciting. They came from winning franchises. And if you get these young guys to develop with the assistance of a pass rush, man, maybe everything can come together. And initially it didn't. And it was kind of disappointing. You can go back and you look at the stats or you can look at the outcome. And then all of a sudden this snowball started rolling downhill. And when Jack Sanborn talks about they started to see what this thing could become, then they started believing in their teammate next to them and how well that they could play defensive football. And then they started to prove that. So I think when you're a young guy like Jack Sanborn playing along some of the experienced veterans, or you see, you know, guys like Terrell Smith and Tyreek Stevenson start turning into the players that you kind of thought that they could eventually become, it's exciting future here for the Bears defense. But I think development during the season is really hard to do. And to see what these guys were able to do during the season, it's a compliment to every single one of them.
Including the parachute drop into the whole mix for Montez Sweat, who becomes the first player in NFL history to lead two teams in sacks. He thinks it's a pretty cool honor, but he's saddened by the idea, though, that he can't hang out with these guys until they get back together in the off season. Everybody's parting their ways now because he really likes these guys. And that is a big deal for a guy traded here. He didn't have a choice. He was moved by Washington to the Bears and really adapted well. Here's Sweat on that locker room.
The family aspect, it's family oriented. I think after the game yesterday, it was like a bittersweet feeling. Like, you know, you need that break to let your body rest. But I really wanted just some more time with the guys in this locker room. Obviously, after every year, the team will change, and some people will stay, some people will go. But with this group personally, I just wanted just a little bit more time.
Yeah, a little bit more time. That's the famous last words of a lot of NFL players, right? Just a little bit more time with the season, and that did not happen. But he called it, you know, the family atmosphere for him was important, and that's what it is in there.
Well, you know, Jeff, to analogize a player getting traded in the midway season, they leave behind a house, they lock the door, bring a bag of clothes, and then they go to the next team they're going to play for, and then you let things unfold. That would be the same thing as midseason saying, okay, Jeff, you're going to go start broadcasting for the Carolina Panthers. I'll see you when I see you again. Bring a bag of clothes. And, oh, yeah, by the way, within a week's time, memorize your new teammates, memorize the flow. It's, you know, you can really kind of relate to what he went through, but, you know, you kind of admire what he was able to accomplish and how well he fit into this team, how well he was embraced by the locker room, and he kind of reciprocated. And I think the results of the defense had a lot to do with Ryan Poles bringing in a guy like Montez Sweat and then creating a positive working atmosphere that he was able to really have a great middle portion of the season.
Bears Etc. is podcast brought to you by PNC, official bank of the Bears. So let's talk about the defense. They finished 12th in yards, but number one defending the run. They were nowhere near that a year ago. I mean, that's a massive improvement. They had trouble stopping the run. Andrew Billings up front. The play of Jervon Dexter Sr. rotating in with Pickens. Justin Jones did a great job, I thought, this year. DeMarcus Walker had a very fine year. Had a sack in the finale against the Green Bay Packers and, of course, Montez Sweat and some others in that mix. So, fifth in yards per carry. They finished with the most interceptions, their highest interception percentage in the NFL. Seventh in first downs allowed, which is important, but 29th on third down and 32nd in sack percentage. So we know that pass rush needs an infusion of more, and that will be a significant part of the offseason plan, Tom.
Yeah. You know what? One thing that I was kind of disappointed in is that DeMarcus Walker got injured during training camp. He wasn't able to play along with his teammates. He didn't get involved in the mix. Then he had another hiccup when we went to Indianapolis and practice there for a couple days. So he kind of had a slow start to the season. And I think he's a really important part of the swagger of the defensive front. And then you think about the development and getting to know each other, like Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards. And then you think about Matt Eberflus taking over in the early stage of the season. So it was not a perfect cocktail. You know, there was a little bit of mismixture there to get this thing rolling. And then when they did start rolling, they started performing at a better level. And then when they got the infusion of Montez Sweat, a lot of things changed around here. And then the continuous development of Tyreek Stevenson, Terrell Smith, and the whole counterpart of the defensive backfield. So, like I said, this is not a defense that's searching to fill holes. This is a defense trying to get some depth and keep this thing going in the right direction. And, you know, I'm interested to think during the offseason, is Matt Eberflus going to stay the defensive play caller? Or are they going to bring in a person to be a defensive play caller? Because, listen, and it's kind of funny because when we did a post-game interview, I would ask questions to the defensive coordinator, and I would let him know that, and then I would ask questions of the head coach. And I liked Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, because I think he really put all of his defensive football knowledge on display.
Yeah, he sure did. And, you know, against better quarterbacks, too, that's when you really need the pass rush. So you can look at some of the math and the better quarterbacks without pressure, that's going to challenge even the best of defenses. All right, so this is the stage now where we kind of take a look at who did what and why. And we're probably going to be very similar here as we look at the players of the year. But before I get into that, well, I guess I'll save that for the end. It's about the future and what happens. But let's start on defense. So we're going to pick our player of the year and three total players, the top three players on the defensive side of the ball and our rookie of the year on the defensive side of the ball. And I will defer to the man who's got a little bit of age on me by about a year, 18 months, 9 months. You, Tom Thayer, you can go first, Big Tom. You can go first.
So
you're the pro.
Tell me what you want, right? What do you want?
Okay, let's
now
call the player of the year. Defensively.
Player of the year defensively to me is TJ Edwards.
And I agree.
Leading tackler in a majority of the games. Unbelievable in everything that he was able to do, getting interceptions, being a great team leader. Was a spokesperson for the football team when, you know, asked coming to the podium during some of the most difficult of times. But he never said anything that created separation in this team. He would say something that would create a stronger bond.
And he finished 7th in the NFL in tackles, 8th in solo tackles with 90, 153 on the year, and he filled up the stat sheet, Tom. He did a lot of really good things. All right, now two additional defensive stars on this particular team in addition to TJ. So two more guys.
I like Jaquan Brisker. And don't hate me, but I'm going to go to Kyler Gordon.
Now, why would I hate you?
Only because they're both out of the defensive backfield. However, I think they have so much maneuverability from the line of scrimmage to the defensive backfield. They're great tacklers. They're physical football players. They have blitz ability. They have coverage skills. They're great teammates and super talented. And I'm not overlooking the defensive line in their role because I could have, there's a couple guys I could have went to up there. However, when you look at the most difficult position to play in the NFL outside of quarterback, it's defensive backfield to me.
Yeah, and there is where I'll come in with Jalen Johnson because he did something that was important at this point in his career, and that's making plays on the ball. So with the interceptions, the pick six, and I gotta give Montez Sweat. I know he didn't play the whole year here, but his impact, the multiplier effect was significant. How about your rookie of the year? We're going to do
rookie of the year on defense.
Yes.
To me, it's Jervon Dexter Sr.
Interesting.
Because from the time I saw him at the beginning of the season, I didn't know that how he was going to fit into this picture. And then I remember sitting out there on the field at pregame, maybe the third or fourth game into the season, and he was going through his paces with the defensive line coaches. And they were telling him, okay, now think of the offensive lineman's outside shoulder, inside shoulder. And I started looking at him close up, being able to use his assets, his length, his size, his footwork, his strength. And I started thinking, wow, this guy is starting to get it. And whenever you see a defensive lineman that's a rookie, not necessarily hit that rookie wall, but still performing on a regular rotation, Jervon is the guy that impressed me most.
All right, I'm going to go with Tyrique Stevenson because I think he made the greatest improvement possibly of any player on the team from the start of the year to where he wound up, and that was as a playmaker. When you read the numbers, and I didn't even really take a focus on this until I looked it up on NFL's GSIS, it's called, the stat service that they provide the media, but he tied for fifth in the entire NFL with 16 pass breakups. He had the four interceptions. That was also top four in the league. Had the forced fumble on Sunday. Tied for seventh in interceptions. 84 tackles. He was third in tackles among all cornerbacks in the NFL in pass plays. And then obviously therein lies some of the intrigue because he was targeted a bunch, the most in the NFL. Right. He gave up a lot, but I just think I love his attitude. He never backs down, and here's what he had to say in the locker room on Monday about what his rookie season added up to be.
Well, it was a pretty good rookie year for me. I had my ups and downs. I had my goods and I had my bads. So just to kind of end it off with a bang like that, wanted to dub, always want to dub against those guys, but just to end it off like that, just pretty much giving me confidence going into this offseason and give myself, you know, opportunities and show myself what I need to work on.
What do you need to, like, where's the platform going into year two? How much has it been raised? Where can you take it to?
It's always raised. It's always at the highest ceiling because I always want to, you know, I want to be that one, that corner in that one year like Jalen. You know, I want to be the top corner every year, every time I step out on that field. So it was always raised. But I would say this year just gave me more preparation on details that I need to work on. Feet, hands, body weight, you know, certain things like that. I'm not just training in college and everybody's making my schedule, my food and all that. Now I know what to do.
Yeah, detail. He mentions detail, and that has to get better in all phases, including what you do off the field. And so that's recognition and some great work done by John Hoke. He's been complimented by Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus for his work with the corners.
I should be. Like I said, to me, defensive back, cornerback specifically, most difficult position outside of quarterback. And no two players are alike. So when you talk about a quality defensive back coach, you're taking the assets they offer you and you just refine those, a lot like an offensive line coach, because everybody is built a little bit differently.
All right. Offense, they finished number two in rushing yards, number six in yards per carry, 12th on third down, which is, again, a major improvement. And that's a very important statistic, obviously. Fields led the team in rushing at 657 and 5.3 a carry. Herbert with 611 with an injury that knocked him out for a bit, and, of course, Fields as well. So I'd prefer to have a running back lead the team in rushing, but Justin's ability obviously speaks for itself. So who is your player of the year on offense, Tom?
My player of the year on offense, my first one is Cole Kmet. And I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons. He improved his catches by 23 over last year. But he had over 500 reps more than the next tight end on the team. Hmm. I don't think that's the way that you can play this business, because when you look at Cole Kmet, you need multiple tight ends on a team. And I know you have Robert Tonyan, and I know that you have Mercedes Lewis. But you need a tight end comparable in size, ability, stature of a Cole Kmet. Then when you talk about two tight end sets and be more threatening and even balanced on each side, I think that's when you do more for an offense. But the big catch that Cole made in the Green Bay game, the big catches that he made throughout the season, his red zone targeting efficiency, to me, I think Cole's arrow is pointed straight up, not at a slight angle.
I'm glad you brought up the two tight end situation where you defense not sure which one they have to cover because sure. We've seen it for years that being a deadly. I mean, you think about the Patriots with Brady and having two tight ends. What we just recently saw with Jonnu Smith and Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, both do some different things, but both can easily move the sticks. And we can make many more examples, no further than Green Bay. With Tucker Kraft and Musgrave, and they're young, and they're going to grow, and they're dangerous already. So I like that idea. I know everybody's talking about, you know, and the Bears, I do feel, need an additional receiver, but an additional pass-catching, you know, tight end would be great.
Green Bay's got another rookie tight end, Ben Sims, who didn't even play. I mean, so don't think that you can have too many young tight ends. Cole is a young tight end with experience, and you bring another body type like that on this field, you're talking about short yardage, goal line, red zone. It changes the entire complexion of the offense.
All right, my player of the year on offense, DJ Moore, number 6 in yards in the NFL at 1,364, 14.2 a catch, the 9 touchdowns, 8 catches, and 1 run. DJ, and how the offense is close to being something significant.
Real close. I would say we had like 2 or 3 games where the outcome was different. We wouldn't even be at this day right now. We'd still be going strong into the playoff picture.
So what gives you confidence that the foundation that's here could win 10 games next year?
I mean, when you go back and look at all the games that we won, and then go look at the Denver game, the first Detroit game, I want to say the first Minnesota game. I mean, it's like games you could pinpoint where it's like, dang, if this was a different outcome, you talking about, what, that's 4 games I just said? You talking about 11 win season right there.
Yeah, so he did what we all have been doing, the what-if game. Hey, you know, could have beat Denver, could have beat Minnesota, could have done this, could have done that, and boom, you have 11 wins and you're still playing. Did you ever do that in your career?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, it's impossible to have played as long as I was lucky enough to play and not rehash some of the experiences that you went over, and you have that, you know, that what if, you know. And unfortunately for me, 3 times it happened in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's no bigger what if than in the playoffs when, you know, we get beat in the NFC Championship game at home by the San Francisco 49ers, and we're a punt return away from going to the Super Bowl again, especially when we beat that team during the regular season on Monday Night Football. So not that I still think about it, but I can still think about it.
Funny thing is, I just saw this morning a mic'd up Bill Walsh about that game at Soldier Field and how cold it was. And they were just wondering, Roger Craig is also interviewed and saying he got out there, he was in his shirt sleeves, and he couldn't feel the ball. And he just thought, how am I going to play in this? And Bill Walsh told them, attack immediately and get on these guys, and we will win the game. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it was maybe the only game in the history of my career I put more clothes on at halftime than it's only the once and only time.
All right, who's your two other or offensive players? Two other offensive players.
You got to bear with me. I'm going with Tevin Jenkins, and I'll tell you why. I know that Tevin gave up a couple of sacks the other night in Green Bay, but I don't believe in the balance of the protection. However, I think if you tell Tevin exactly what he's going to be from the moment he gets here when the season starts, you allow him to take that relationship and develop it with the center and tackle he's going to play next to. If he spends his time in the offseason continuing to gain strength, he's a young man. I think Tevin Jenkins can probably give you probably one of the more powerful offensive guards in our division, and he could maybe turn into one of the better offensive guards in the league. And if you want to do anything successfully on the NFL, you have to have that powerful interior running game, but you also have to be complemented by the athleticism to be a good pass blocker.
And I'm assuming DJ's the other one.
Yes.
Yes. So we're all in agreement. Cole Kmet and Tevin Jenkins are my other two as well. Rookie of the year, you already spilled the beans. I think we're both going to go Darnell Wright. Yep.
So let me put a little bit of picture on this. Is, you know, when you talk about being a first-round draft choice, you have certain expectations thrust upon you before you ever put a Bear jersey on. And now you're given your Bear jersey and everybody's looking at you, who's the first-rounder? How does he handle himself? And then you become a first-rounder, i.e. Jimbo Covert, and they put you in your position from day one. Now you have guys like Mercedes Lewis that are looking at this kid that's been playing NFL football for 20 years, and this kid is just putting his shoes on for the first time. Those expectations by Darnell Wright that he has to mentally focus and filter through by himself without being able to explain it or talk to anybody else about it, it's enormously challenging. Darnell Wright never let me down a day in his rookie career. I have unbelievable expectations for him going forward, about being a leader, about being more vocal in the locker room, setting an example what off-season and in-season work ethic can do for a young offensive lineman. So it's not just a foregone conclusion because you're a first-rounder, you're going to come out here and perform like he did. But I'm super impressed by Darnell Wright and what he was able to accomplish.
Rookie of the year, Darnell Wright. I'm going to give an ode to Tyson Bagent. In the locker room today, he was asked about what he learned in those four games, and it's about, again, the detail, how every single snap matters. And you can't let one snap get away from you because it could beat you. But what he wants to work on in the offseason, so he's going to go see Tom House, the former Major League pitcher, who works on quarterbacks and delivery. And he's going to work at his school and get the receivers to use the field at Shepherd University again. And he's going somewhere else to work on stuff. But listen to this soundbite, Tom. Tyson Bagent on what he's going to do and what he's trying to do this offseason.
Every year I just try to get better, and I have gotten better every year of my life since I've been playing football, since I was six. Just every year I've gotten better, so I just looking forward to not changing what got me here, to continue to work my face off, try and, you know, continue to outwork everybody that, you know, I'm competing with, and be able to put my best foot forward when opportunities present themselves in 2024. Just take advantage of opportunities, always be ready for the moment.
Tyson, you said you wanted to work on becoming a more dynamic thrower this offseason. What does that look like?
Yeah, just being more comfortable, I think, pushing the ball down the field. I think quick game, intermediate game, you know, I had millions of reps in that in college. So being able to understand that, you know, the NFL wants chunk plays. You know, we want to make drives as less plays as possible. And we will put points on the board. So being able to just be more comfortable in that world, very excited to dive into it. But yeah, just a more dynamic athlete. Obviously, you see a lot of things that Justin's able to do. Don't necessarily think I can do things at that level, but I think I can come pretty close. So I'm excited to just become a better athlete, and being a more dynamic thrower comes with that.
I'll tell you, humility is there, but also the confidence is unbelievable. So he says, I'm going to work my face off. I'm going to try and work out. I'm going to do what I've done since I've been 6 years old and try and work harder than anybody I'm competing against. I don't care who it is. And he goes, the short and intermediate game, I've thrown millions of balls. That part of my game, I know I can do. It's pushing the ball down the field, That's what the NFL wants. They want chunk plays. They want shorter series. They want touchdowns. So that's what he's going to work on. But I just love his attitude. There's not a single flinch in this guy. He even, as you heard at the end there, Tommy, talked about dynamic ability athletically, which he says, yes, I'm not Justin Fields. That's as dynamic, but I think I can get pretty close. I mean, wow. I love his attitude. If every player had that attitude, whoo, look out.
You know why? You know why he's got attitude like that? And I would never sway very far away from Travis Bajant.
Yeah.
I had a chance to meet his dad a couple times this year, and he's one of the most dynamic personalities that I met this year in the NFL. And the influence that he has on his confidence, his workability, his desires, it's a lot what you get at home. And so you can go out and visit all these specialists, but man, the reason that you're in the NFL, dude, is because of what your dad has put in your soul.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be working out with dad at some point.
I hope so.
In this offseason. What a nice young man. Okay, special teams. Your player of the year.
All right. Who's yours?
It's Cairo. He's okay, had a great year.
Not.
That's okay.
Mine's not.
Yeah, we're allowed to have difference.
Mine is Velus. Because I want to tell you what. And I know Velus has gone through some really hard times in the early part of his career. They had to kind of figure out where could Velus Jones help this team the most. And you got to do it in stride. It's not something that you can give him a couple weeks off or take a couple weeks off, although he was inactive a couple times. But as soon as he was reactivated and he became the kick returner, he did it with guts. He did it with commitment. And I think that is something that's escaped most teams this year in the NFL. And Velus Jones is going to break a kickoff for a touchdown for the Bears. And it's going to be at the time when you need it the most. And I'm not taking anything away from Cairo. I love what that dude and the pressure he's faced since he's been here. However, when you get that rug pulled out from underneath your feet in the NFL, and all of a sudden you're not on the active roster, you're searching for anything. And so I really admire what Velus has done with his opportunity on the special teams to create a couple more offensive opportunities, which I think that will continue to increase.
You're going to be stunned by this, but I looked up the NFL stats, and to be consistent with the history of the league, you got to have a minimum of 20 returns to qualify to be on the leaderboard, right?
Yeah.
Two players in the NFL are on the list.
Ugh.
Keyshawn Nixon is the NFL winner of the kick return average for the year, and then one other player. That's it.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
That's sad. That's-
yep.
You know,
it is sad.
I guess you have to credit the kickers because they're banging them farther than they ever have before. Yeah. Then move the kickoff back a little bit if you want to see returns. You know, I'm just saying, I just admire players, Jeff, that don't bury their head in the sand when they're really challenged. And I think that's when you show your confidence. It's like listening to Tyson Bajan talk. And then you have to see how Velus Jones rebounds after being on the inactive list.
All right, so I'm going with Cairo Santos, fifth in points in the NFL, 136. Past Gale Sayers for the third best single-season point total in Bears history. Second in field goals made in the NFL, tied for third in field goal attempts, and set the single-season record for the number of field goals made. And he just had a terrific year. And until a couple of weeks ago, he was handling all the kickoffs and almost 95% of those landed in the end zone.
Yep.
That record means a lot to Cairo Santos, as he told reporters on Monday.
It's not guaranteed to get all these attempts and field goals. Sometimes, you know, just don't get in the 20s. Sometimes you're in the high 30s like we were this year. So, like, you know, to have a chance to get the record like we did, you know, I look back and it's a testament to the whole unit. Coach Hightower, he takes pride into getting the big boys protecting for us every detail and snap hold. He holds us, you know, very accountable in getting that done too, and that to get everyone being a part of this record is special for us to celebrate this year for the field goal unit.
Did you set goals before the season for yourself?
No, not really. Make each kick one at a time and see how long that goes. I think that's been the mentality since college. Because, like I say, not guaranteed that you're going to get X amount of attempts. So I can make the next kick and then go to the next kick. That'll take me to great places if I get the job done.
All right, so he finished 35 of 38, but impressively hitting 7 50-plus field goals, and the 50-yarder against Green Bay wasn't an easy one. It ricocheted across, and so that was significant. But that's exciting. He's had now the top three in Bears history, top three finishes in terms of percentage in a season. So, and it's all come during the last 4 years. So outstanding, outstanding work.
Do you think in our football life, being around Kevin Butler, Robbie Gould, and now Cairo, three of the better kickers in the history of the NFL, and Kevin and Robbie had to do it under some worse field conditions that they, you know, were mentally tough. And I remember telling Robbie Gould once, I said, you know, Kevin Butler is the best tackling kicker I've ever been around. And Robbie says, well, you know, I'm pretty good myself. And yeah, he is. But back in the day, back in the Kevin Butler, Robbie Gould day, there was way more kickoffs returned and they had more tackling opportunities. Nowadays, it just doesn't come very frequent.
Yeah, indeed. And the other thing is, like he said there, you don't know how many you're going to get. The opportunities, if the Bears were scoring more touchdowns, he'd be getting more extra points. So, you know, you'd rather have the touchdowns. Let's be clear on that. Good news, Chicago. United Airlines is getting brand new planes with all the bells and whistles, like Bluetooth connectivity, screens at every seat, and room for everyone's roller bag. United, proud to fly the Chicago Bears and you too. Give me two more special teams players.
Two more special teams
players. Cairo would be one, right?
Yeah, okay. Of course. Cairo would be one for sure. You know, I'm going to go with listen, I want Trenton Gill to get better as a punter. But when he had to step up to the plate the last couple of weeks and he kick off and he put every one of them deep in the end zone and he mitigated the threat of any kickoff return, I like what he's able to do. And the reason Cairo is such a good kicker is you have to have a great holder. And that's also what Trenton Gill is. So he does a variety of things. Do I want to see him somehow become more of a banger in the long punts that need to be? Yes, I do. But I think Trenton Gill did a really nice job. And Jalen Jones, you know, leading tackler on special teams. It seems like every time there's a big play that could possibly open up on a punt return or a kickoff return, all of a sudden you see number 31 coming into the picture. So I think he's done a lot to impress us over not only this year, the last couple years.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jalen Jones, and I'm going to give a nod to Jack Sanborn on there too, because he was up there in the tackle leaders, and you know you're going to get a good coverage from him. My rookie of the year on special teams is going to be Tyreek Stevenson.
Me too.
So there you go.
You can't think about that. You know, he's a safety on kickoff coverage. And the one time a kickoff guy was going to break it, he ended up putting his head on the football, creating a fumble, and the Bears recovered. One of the biggest plays of the year.
And you might remember he was fielding punts in the preseason, you know, in training camp. And I know you can't do that with your starting corner, right? Well, Keyshawn Nixon does kickoff returns for the Green Bay Packers.
Go tell Deion Sanders that.
Yes, I know. All right, so that's our look at everything in terms of this team. That doesn't mean we didn't love up other players on this team, including the starting quarterback, Justin Fields. Just looking for, you know, guys that really played almost every snap of the season, guys that put forth and stayed healthy and gave you everything they got out there. And it's a large group. It's a larger group. A lot of players improved this year across the board. All right, this is what I was going to bring up because it's now an ode to the future here. 34 consecutive seasons, Tommy, every season since 1990, at least four teams have qualified for the playoffs after failing to make the playoffs the year before. And I hate that we keep talking about this as it pertains to the Bears, but you got Indy, Houston joining Cleveland, Detroit, and the Rams as playoff teams. Then the Texans made the playoffs one season after finishing last, joining the Browns and accomplishing the turnaround from last in their division to a spot in the playoffs. So in 25 of the past 28 seasons, at least one team has made the playoffs the season after finishing in last or tied for last place. So, listen, I still feel arrows up. I hope you concur.
You know, I do. You know, again, they should have beat Detroit in Detroit. They beat Minnesota in Minnesota. They have to learn how to go out there and compete and win games against Green Bay. And I think that will be the telltale sign. You know, you got to start by winning games in your division, at home, and on the road.
Also, unless I'm missing somebody, no major significant injuries that are going to leak into training camp unless somebody gets an off-season surgery that we're not aware of. So I think it's going to be a pretty healthy team.
Yeah, it's always a possibility. I don't know what the extent of Cole Kmet's forearm injury was. We don't have a report on that. We probably won't until the first injury report of Wednesday at the start of the regular season.
Well, we'll hear some of that before training camp gets underway. And it's not that far away when you think about it, that's for sure. But a lot in between. Draft obviously going to get everybody's attention. A lot of movement throughout the National Football League. It'll be interesting to see who goes where and why. And we're waiting to find out when the Bears will have their end-of-season news conference. After that, whatever day it is this week or whenever it is, we'll have one more podcast talking about this 2024 season before we go to one podcast a week as opposed to
really?
Two, Tom. Yes.
Oh, I might have one. To get a new partner so I can do two.
So that's going to do it for us today. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the season. Appreciate all our sponsors here on Bears, et cetera, and throughout the Bears organization. And we had some fun times this season, some frustrating times, but that's the NFL, the week-to-week league that it is. But I think we both agree that we see daylight and hoping that this team is going to be able to turn the corner and be a playoff contender for many more years here.
Yeah, you know, I think they have a nice combination of rookie guys that are hungry and veterans that sent the message in the locker room of how important a positive approach to the offseason. And when you listen to Tyson Bagent talk about what he wants to do and the multiple people that he wants to meet with, I think that's equally as important for anybody of any position to get the most advice and live in the weight room as much as they can.
Bears fans, you can be there for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace to the Bears in the NFL. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game. Find tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Bears. For Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe now on the Chicago Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Bear down, everybody.